Good morning, everyone. We had an absolutely amazing time this weekend. Women were changed, lives were touched, God did amazing things, and I just consider it such an honor to be a part of it. I am from California, like Pastor Tim said, and so it's cool just to come and hear all the accents, for one thing. but it's just a powerful thing to see the body of Christ and how God is moving. I've ministered at many churches all over and been to many different retreats, and I can honestly say, hands down, that the team of women that prepared this retreat, that worked so diligently to make it the amazing success that it was, I don't think I've ever seen any team work that hard. I mean, they really gave it all of themselves, and they were passionately just pouring everything that they were into it, and I was so blessed by that. You guys probably have some of the best leaders on earth here in this church, so let's give them a hand. Amen. So powerful. So the retreat theme was, what's your story, which we loved. We all have a story. It's an amazing, amazing thing. Denora spoke so powerfully about our choices making a difference for generations to come. And I absolutely love my sister Carrie Bourne. I'm so blessed by her ministry, her passion for God. And she said something that was so powerful this week. And she said, God's success rate is 100% all day, every day. And that is a very true statement. He does not fail. And so we were blessed by the word, blessed by the events. As we drove home yesterday, all of the ladies were talking about all of the amazing things that happened during the event between services on Friday, that God just really, I guess you guys did physical things that related to spiritual things, and there was major breakthroughs that happened that day. And so it was an amazing time. But I want to talk about our story today. We all have a story. And God told Jeremiah this in Jeremiah 1:5. He said, I knew you before I formed you. Before you were in your mother's womb, before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. And before the beginning of times, he knew us. He formed us. He had a story for our lives. Even before we had one for our lives, how many know we have a plan for our lives? And sometimes it doesn't always go. The Bible says that many are the plans of a man, but God determines his steps. And so God has a story for our life. There's a purpose and there's a cause for your life. And the battle that we face as believers, as Christians, always till our last breath will be not allowing our enemy to terminate that purpose, to stop that cause that God has given to us on this earth. He wants us to stop being us. He wants you to stop being you, to steal your identity. The Bible says that he's come to steal, kill, and destroy, right? And he wants to take that story that God has given us, and he wants to destroy it. And there's a story of a farmer, and I'm sure you've probably heard this before, but a farmer found an eagle egg. And every time I say eagle egg, I have to think of Nacho Libre. How many have seen that movie? Those eagle eggs are a lie, right? but he couldn't resist. He came upon an eagle egg, and he's like, I'm going to take this home. So he grabbed it. He took it back to his farm, and he put the egg with the chickens that he kept in the yard. And the mother hen was the proudest chicken you ever saw, sitting on top of this magnificent eagle egg. A few weeks later, from the egg emerged a fine, healthy egret, or baby eagle. And as in the gentle nature of chickens, they didn't balk at the stranger in their midst, and they raised the majestic bird as one of their own. Growing up in the coop, it learned to do all the things chickens do. It clucked, it cackled, scratching in the dirt for grits and worms, flapping its wings furiously, flying just a few feet in the air before crashing down to the earth in a big pile of feathers. It believed absolutely and resolutely that it was a chicken. And one day, late in its life, the old eagle, who thought he was a chicken, looked up. Looked up at the sky, and high overhead, soaring majestically and effortlessly on the thermals, with scarcely a single beat of its powerful golden wings, was an eagle. What's that? Cried the old eagle in awe. It's magnificent, so much power and grace, so beautiful. That's an eagle, replied a nearby chicken. That's the king of the birds. It's a bird of the air, not for the likes of us. We're only chickens. We're birds of the earth. And with that, they all cast their eyes downward once more and continued digging in the dirt. And so it was that the eagle lived and died a chicken, because that's all it believed himself to be. And the enemy of our lives would love for us to believe that we don't have a story, that there is no purpose for our life, that God didn't write our story before time even began, but he did. And so our challenge and our battle that we face is that enemy that wants to steal who we are, to destroy our identity in Christ. But the fact of the matter in this story is whether the eagle lived in a chicken coop or not, he still was an eagle. It didn't change his identity. Amen? The fact of the matter is that our enemy would like to take our identity. Micah 7:8, an awesome scripture says this: "Do not rejoice over me, my enemy, for when I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me." And if we look a little deeper at that scripture, we find that Micah is saying a very personal declaration here. He said, "Do not rejoice over me, my enemy." So he's recognizing that he has an enemy in his life. And if you look into that passage, the Hebrew word for enemy is oye, O-Y-E, and it's adversary, someone who persecutes and hates. And the original idea is that of breathing and blowing and huffing and puffing. And so when I read that, I instantly thought of the three little pigs, right? The wolf huffed and he puffed, and he blew the house of sticks down. He blew the house of straw down. But when he got to the house of bricks, he huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed, but no results, right? And that's what happens when our lives are built upon the solid rock of Jesus Christ. We will feel the shaking of the enemy. The attack will come to try and steal and kill and destroy. But what God has built, our enemy cannot destroy. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. So if we fall, we get back up. That's what Micah is saying right here. You know, "Rejoice not over me, my enemy, for when I fall, I will arise. I'll get back up. I'll remember who I was." We don't want to stay in the chicken coop as eagles. We have to get back up and get back to purpose and get back to the story that God has written for our lives. Also, if you look into that passage, the word "fall," where it says, "Rejoice not over me, my enemy, for when I fall," it's talking about someone. It's not talking about someone that was walking down the street and tripped over a curb and fell. It's talking about someone that was possibly on a horse and fell out of a position or a seat, a riding position. Or if you look deeper, it's purpose. Someone that just kind of forgets where they need to be in life, what God has planned for our lives. And so it's talking about when I fall out of my identity in Christ, when I lose sight of purpose, that God will restore me. He will allow me to arise back up. 2 Corinthians 4:9 says, "We are persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed." We go through things in life, but it doesn't change our identity in Christ. "For though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise again, but the wicked stumble and calamity strikes," as Proverbs 24:16. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And though he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." Psalms 37:23 and 24. So what this tells us is that a child of God, an heir to the King of Kings, as part of a royal priesthood and a holy nation, because I am chosen by God, because he formed me before I was even in my mother's womb, that I have a story that is being written, and that he has a plan and a purpose for my life. Amen? And there is nothing that can keep us down. We may fall, but we arise back up because we're called to be eagles. We're called to soar above. Amen? Hallelujah. So no weapon formed against us, no attack great enough, no temptation strong enough, no evil dark enough to keep us down. We will arise. I thought this morning of the prodigal son. Remember when he decided he wanted to take his inheritance, and he went out and he blew it. And he lived that way for quite some time, but the Bible says that he came back to himself. He came to himself, and he was like, "What am I doing here? Even my father's servants eat better than this. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to say, 'Father, just let me be your servant, because I'm not worthy anymore to be your son.'" So something took place. place and in falling out of his position as that son, he started losing his identity. He started saying to himself, I'm not worthy to be a son, so let me just be a servant. And if we look into that story, we find that as he was afar off, as he was returning back home, the father saw him. And he ran to him, and he told his servants, bring the finest robe that we have, bring the ring, you know, kill the fattened calf. We want to have a feast and celebrate because my son was gone, and he was lost, and now he is found. And he told his father, you know, I'm not worthy to be your son, but let me just be your servant. And the father would not have it. Why? Because his identity was his son. That's who he was. And so God today is a restorer of our lives. Sometimes our stories look so different. Our lives look so different than what God's plan is for it. But if we will remember that God has written a story and that we need to come back into alignment with that, into his purpose for our lives. And sometimes we just feel like we're on the losing side of life. Have you ever felt that way? Anyone? Just one person. All right. I'm preaching to you. Luke 7, I'm getting close here, finishing up, but Luke 7, 11 through 16 tells us about a widow who had lost so much. I mean, just her name, the way she was referenced, she was a widow, which means that she had lost her husband. And back then, it didn't mean just a husband, it meant provision. It meant her livelihood, her standing in society. So she was experiencing a life of loss, and I'm going to read just a few verses out of that. It says in verse 11 of chapter 7, Now it happened the day after that, Jesus went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. That's how the Bible describes her. So not only did she have a loss of life, but she was living a life of loss. And that's pretty heavy. So a large crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said to her, do not weep. I mean, we would all be weeping at that point. When you lose a lot in your life, when you go through heaviness, it's easy to kind of get depressed and think, what, God, did you change the story? Am I missing something here? And yet Jesus meets her on the street and he says, do not weep. And then he came and he touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead, the Bible says, sat up and began to speak, and he presented him to his mother. Jesus met them on the road that day, and he spoke to that dead man, and he said, arise. And I believe that's what he says to us this morning. Maybe you've fallen out of your position as far as the plan of God for your life. Maybe you've forgotten your identity in Christ. You've forgotten that you're a son of God, a daughter of God. And you just need to come back to that place in him. Don't let this day pass you by without doing that. I had a dream when I was 11 years old. And in that dream, I was at the piano, playing, worshiping God, totally lost in worship. And I had my eyes closed, and I just felt the presence of God so strongly. And at one point, I opened my eyes, and when I did, I looked out into the sanctuary, and it was this huge sanctuary filled with hundreds and hundreds of black people, which at that time was so different than our reality, because I went to an all-white church, and it was a very small church, very small sanctuary, so I didn't understand it as a child. I told my parents about it, but yet when I woke up, I knew that God was showing me something about my story. He was trying to give me a glimpse of something that was to come, and showing me, and in my dream, I remember functioning so boldly in that position and feeling just so confident about singing and worshiping God. And you know, life happens to us all. That was 11 years old, and you know, I'm like 15 now, so a few years have gone by. And so there have been things in my life where I've fallen a few times. I've gotten, fell off the horse, and gotten out of a position that I know that God has for my life. And so there were times that I wondered, God, did you change your mind about my life? Did you rip up the pages of my story, and did you decide to do something else and use somebody else for that? What was that dream all about? And last year, God gave me the opportunity to go to many different countries. Last year alone, I went to 5 different countries. I went to the Philippines, Sri Lanka, Thailand, Kenya, and Nigeria. And in November, it was actually right after the retreat we did last year, I went to Nigeria, and I was in Lagos, Nigeria, and the pastor said, okay, you know, I want you to go and lead us in some worship. So I begin to play the song, Let It Rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. You guys know it. Let it rain. And so I was singing, I was lost in worship, caught up in the moment. I didn't know what was going on around me. My eyes were closed, and I could hear voices singing along. And I was like, oh good, they know the song, that means so much. And so I just remember opening my eyes, and I looked out, and suddenly I was seeing my dream from when I was 11 years old. And God just spoke to me at that moment. He said, you're living the dream. And it was such a powerful moment for me, such a powerful experience, because God was still writing my story. He hadn't changed his mind about me. He didn't say, you know what, you've screwed up too bad, just forget you, I'm going to use somebody else. He never changed his mind. And this morning, God will not abort the purpose of your life. No matter what, sometimes we just forget that we're a son. We forget that we're a daughter. But he will not change his mind about you. So maybe if you're living in the chicken coop this morning, get back up, eagle.